This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I am Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are here with us today. I am really excited about today's episode because we're kind of wrapping up our summer series, and then we're also moving into season two on the podcast. And season two is going to be all about prayer. I cannot wait for some of the things that we're going to talk about this season. We're going to talk about prayer walking. We're going to talk about what prayer is and what it is not. We're going to talk about how to organize your prayer time, just all kinds of really great things I cannot wait for you to hear about. But today, as we wrap up our summer series and move into season two on prayer, I have a very special guest with us, Miss Alicia Bruxworth. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning, Katie.
I'm so glad that you are back on the podcast. If you guys did not hear the episodes that we recorded last year with Alicia, we have several that we recorded on uncertainty. What to do in the midst of uncertainty. And they were some really great episodes. And while I know that we all wish that today was a more certain day than a year ago, we won't have that guarantee. And those are just still some really great resources. So I want you to know that that is there. You can go back and listen to those interviews that Alicia and I did. Those were some really great conversations. But for today, I have asked Alicia because I heard about something really special, Alicia, that you do with your kids and I think even your kind of community of people.
Yeah.
As you're getting ready for the kids to go back to school. And so I would love for you to tell us more about that.
All right. Absolutely. Yes. You know, what I've learned is not all traditions start like with the aim to make them a tradition. And this is definitely one of those. This is a back to school tradition that really, when I began, I thought it was maybe going to be a one and done, kind of a one-time idea. And it has become such a precious piece of our transitioning back into the school year that we just can't seem to let it go. So backtrack probably 10 years ago, I was a mom of littles, whereas now I'm a mom of bigger kids. And it was, we were stepping into a new school year. My kids were aged probably between about 2 and 12. And honestly, I was just absolutely overwhelmed with sending them back to school. Not because there was anything wrong with the school system or not because I wasn't, you know, certain that, you know, it would, you know, that they'd have good teachers. It was really just the thought of diving back in and of sort of like managing all the needs and walking beside each of my kids in whatever the year would bring. And just that thought alone was daunting to me. So I found myself like lying in bed at the end of a day and focusing on what I didn't know about the new school year. You know, I didn't know what our kids would learn. I didn't know what struggles they would face. I didn't know like what relationships they'd manage. I didn't know what would be coming at them. I also didn't know how I was going to do it. Like I didn't know how I was going to, you know, find the time to stay rooted in the word myself and still tend to all the schedule. So there's this feeling of unknown. And one night as I was lying in bed and just felt like the anxiety rising, I just felt like this thought lodged in my mind, like stop worrying about what you don't know and focus on what you do know. And as I lay there, I just recognized that as a prompting of the Holy Spirit. It felt like the Lord was speaking to me by putting his thought in my head. And I started to shift my thoughts from what I couldn't anticipate to what I could articulate. And so I just had to admit, I don't know how the semesters are going to unfold. I didn't know how the school year would end, but I could articulate how I wanted it to begin. Ooh. And that was really the starting point for developing this tradition that we call the red carpet tradition. What I knew was that I wanted the school year to begin in prayer. Mm-hmm. I wanted my kids to begin the school year rooted in an understanding of who they were and, you know, why we were sending them out into the world. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted them to have the kind of who I am and why I'm here. So this sense of identity and purpose. And as I started to pray through those ideas, the Lord really just brought me to the verse in Philippians 2 that says, you are God's children called to shine like stars across the land. And I thought that just answers it. It's the who, you are God's children. And being a child of God is, as our identity, means we have access, you know, to the King of Kings. It means we are already accepted, approved, welcomed into his family. So there was that identity piece I wanted my kids to remember. But it's also the purpose. Like, we were put here to shine like stars. At another point in the Gospels, Jesus, you know, talks about you're a light on the hill and you're made to shine. And so I wanted to work with those two things. And as I just was praying over this verse, the Lord just brought to mind this idea of stars and, you know, Hollywood stars. And what do Hollywood stars do? Well, they walk down the red carpet when they're going to a big event, when there's gala, they roll out the red carpet for stars. And so I got this idea that I wanted to gather really our community of people. And we wanted to roll out the red carpet. And we wanted to have our kids walk the red carpet to acknowledge their identity as stars that shine for the Lord. And then I wanted to wrap prayer around our kids. I wanted to somehow come around them and pray over them as we sent them to school. So I'll be honest, it was out there. I mean, I had a fantastic community, but to invite people over to what you might call a prayer party doesn't sound super fun. It sounds a little intimidating. And so I really couldn't explain it, but I just kind of invited people over for like a barbecue. And I did say I'd like to pray over our kids. And we gathered, you know, we played, we shared potluck. And really, as the sun began to set, we threw glow stick necklaces all over the kids. I gathered them around and I just shared this verse. And I said, you know, this is who you are. You are a star for Jesus. And what do stars do? They walk the red carpet. And we rolled out this giant piece of red fabric and we invited the kids to walk the carpet. And we like announced their names and they did whatever they wanted to. Somersault, flip, they walked the carpet. And we just lined the carpet as parents and as a community, and we just cheered and applauded them like they were Hollywood stars. Mm-hmm. And when everyone had had their turn, we gathered around them, and as parents, we just prayed over them. And it was very, very, you know, raw. There were no scripts. Not everyone prayed. Not every parent prayed aloud. Certainly, I know every parent prayed in their heart. There's a lot of fumbling and bumbling words. It was not an exercise in graceful, beautiful praying, but it was really one of the most heartfelt, spirit-filled, you know, prayer times I'd ever shared. Because as we begin as parents to gather together and pray over our kids, there's just such power in the unity. And we start to realize, like, I think every parent in the world longs for the same thing for their kids, right? They want them to be rooted and anchored. They want them to, you know, have purpose. They want them to flourish. They want them to have courage and endurance in times that are difficult. And so it just became such a beautiful, beautiful reminder to me that I'm not alone in this. Like, we don't have to parent alone. We don't have to do back to school alone. So yeah, that's a glimpse of it. And my kids are now 12 to 23, and we are still at it. We have moved states. We have changed communities. And we continue to gather people and launch kids back to school in this way. So it's just been so fun.
So that was going to be my question, because I did wonder, as the kids got older, do they still walk the red carpet, or do you just gather and pray over them? Like, what does this look like as the kids have gotten older?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to drive some people to a blog post where I throw up some pictures of this, but yes, it's all just looks a little cuter when they were all little kindergartners. You know, doing their somersaults, but they do. Now, I'm not sure if it's just because, you know, when you've just done things since you were little, you don't really think too hard about it.
It's not as weird.
You know, families out there that might be like, we're going to do this and our kids are 15.
Right.
I don't know that you need the red carpet. The red carpet for me is just a metaphor, right? Of what this looks like. But they do. They do. And honestly, I've had, we've had littles, we've had teenagers, we've had junior high kids, we've had college kids. We've had kids that were here as they grew up through junior high and high school, and they have younger siblings. And so we invite the siblings, and the college kids are like, wait, can we come too?
No.
So we've kind of had all the ages. And also just, I want to speak into community. You know, it's not just our school community. It can be. Some years it is. I honestly just sit down and pray about, like, Lord, who? Mm-hmm. Who should we gather this year? I don't ever want this to be like, there's a certain group we do this with, you know. There are certainly people who've done this with us over and over again, you know, just the backbone of our community. But I like to be aware of, are there new families stepping into our schools? That this would be a great way for them to meet some people before their kids go to school on that first day. You know, we've had collection of homeschool, private school, public school. I don't think this has to be just like some small little entity that's tied to the particular building your kids are in. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe when you kind of think about it, you're like, I don't even know who I would invite, you know, but maybe there's a couple people in your neighborhood. Maybe there's a couple people in your church that you feel like you could step out and invite to do something like this. And, you know, also maybe it would begin as parents, like, I just want to gather the parents to pray. Like, I don't know if my kids are going to go for this. I mean, there's places to start.
Right.
And just to see how it grows. And I would say the most challenging time for me was when we, somewhere in the middle of this tradition, we moved states. And so we literally came to a community where we didn't know anybody. And my kids were spread out between preschool and high school. So we had a kid in like every school on the campus of the system we were in. So we certainly had plenty of people we knew, but we'd only been here 6 months. And I remember being just kind of overwhelmed, like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. How would I do this? Because these aren't the friends anymore that, you know, we had babies together and we did play dates together. And, you know, it's a little less awkward. It was very awkward. And my kids just kept begging, but Mom, this is how we start the school year. So like, it's okay if it feels uncomfortable. It's okay. What was amazing to me is we received so very few no's. I mean, when we invited people to come pray, and they were people I knew their name, and that was it. Like, I didn't even know really much about them. I kind of went through my contacts, like, who do I have that lives in my town who are in my contacts that I've met in these 6 months? And people didn't turn it down. I think there's a great desire, especially among maybe our population of believers, if you have some friends who, you know, prayer is a part of their life. There's just this great desire to do a tradition, to take time to sort of like build up our kids in prayer. Mm-hmm. And so while it might feel weird to throw out the initial ask, I would really challenge you as a listener, if you feel like the Lord is prompting you to do something based on prayer to start your school year, just to have the courage to ask. And some years it looks like we'll have a big group, and in the end it's like three or four other families, but I've never had a year where no one showed up.
And you know, what I love about what you're talking about, first of all, you know, there's so many ways to begin. It doesn't have to, what we don't want to do is do nothing at all, because we build something up so huge in our minds that it seems impossible or daunting. I love that you talked about having a barbecue. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. how non-threatening of an environment is that? And and what I love about that is that it wasn't even necessarily a detour from normal life. Like, you go in your backyard and grill, you know, that's not something that you only do on a special occasion. And so a couple of things about that I love. One, I know that there are still a lot of extra things to think about when we consider gathering together. Just gathering together is still not what it was 2 years ago. And so sometimes that can create angst in trying to consider that. And so the thing about a barbecue is that it's outdoors. And so there's room to spread out, and you're not kind of cramped up together in a little room somewhere. And so, correct. I mean, I'm not saying we all have to barbecue, but just some sort of an outdoor, you know, ice cream party, or, you know, it doesn't have to be, this giant, you know, detour from the norm where you feel like you have to have your house cleaned, you know, and then it becomes stressful.
You don't even need to pull the weeds in your yard. We have this conversation, my husband and I do every year before we host this. He's like, oh, I wish we'd pulled the weeds. And I'm like, we don't need to pull the weeds. I love that you named ice cream, because most years after the original barbecue, that's exactly where we landed. I bought a couple buckets of vanilla ice cream, and I asked everyone to bring a favorite topping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we literally set out yard games, let kids run around and play, had lawn chairs. It was like, bring your own lawn chair, bring your own sundae topping. And we dished out ice cream sundaes, you know. So barbecue is great, but if that sounds daunting, you know, ice cream sundae, you could take the food out of it. You know, if food sounds daunting. And there have been years that we're, you know, we gather at a ball field in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we play family games of kickball. Because, most people all ages can play a little game of kickball. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, as my kids have grown big, they want to play capture the flag. And, you know, whatever we do, we let the families know, this is what we're going to do together. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to pray. So there's just so many ways.
I love that. And I will say this too, because, you know, it's September. And so there may have been schools that have already started. And I would just say there's never a wrong time to do this. You know, a lot of times the start of the school year, I'll speak for myself, can be stressful. There's just so much to get ready. I mean, my goodness, you should see the stack of school supplies that happens. You know, I need 21 composition notebooks, you know, just this crazy amount of, okay, who needs another backpack, or whose shoes are too small, and how many boxes of Kleenexes do we, and where are the new, and so there can be a lot of extra stress, I think, around the beginning of the year. And so if that's not the best time, you know, maybe you do it one day in September, and you're still at the beginning of the year, but maybe it's better for you and your community if you settle in a little and then you try to do something like this. So I don't want it to be like, well, school already started, we'll try again next year. I think just starting and knowing that we're taking out the pressure of performance here. That's not what we're talking about. The point isn't to have this big event with these, you know, this 2-hour prayer meeting that we can talk about, we did this. It's the realness of it happening, the rawness of real life, and the, you know, the word I keep thinking is intentional. Like, we're starting the year with an intentional way with an intentional purpose. And, you know, Alicia, when you're talking about that verse in Philippians 2, you mentioned two things. The first thing that you mentioned was identity. And then the second word you mentioned was purpose. And if you haven't listened to that last episode in August about choosing a scripture for your school year, that was essentially what we talked about, was beginning, choosing a scripture that first gives your child an identity that you can remind them of, that you can remind them even daily as they go to school of who they are because of Jesus. And then the word that we used was action. What happens because of that? Mm-hmm. You know, the identity will naturally create a response. And that's exactly what you talked about, an identity that leads to a purpose, or an identity that leads to an action or a response. And so if that's something, you know, the Philippians 2 verse is fabulous. If God's like, you know, moving in you to use that, you can. Or if you want to, if you missed that last episode and you want to go back and listen, there's also a free download of something that you can use to help you choose a scripture for your school year. But where I want to end, and what I love, is how the whole thing is about prayer. You know, you pray about the people who you invite, and you pray during the time that you're there. And while you're reminding your children who they are, and you're reminding them of their purpose because of their identity in Christ, you're steeping the whole thing in prayer. And so I'd love for you, you know, for the parent listening that's like, I really do want to do this, but there's no way I'm praying out loud. Like, that seems so weird, or I don't even know if I know how to pray for my child, but I know that I want to, I desire to do that. What would you say to that person?
I mean, first of all, that I don't know how, or I can't pray out loud. I'll just admit, like, it's an uncomfortable habit to begin if it's not something you've done a lot. And so don't confuse discomfort with inability, because there's a lot of things that feel a little uncomfortable to do, that we simply gain we gain more comfort the more we do it. So that's a place, you know. I would say maybe for you, it's a start, like, I'm going to start praying aloud over my kids at bedtime. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start when we gather at mealtime, that we as a family pray aloud, you know, start in spaces that don't feel so vulnerable. Also, it's okay to simply, like, leave some freedom if you gather people, and obviously to let people know you don't have to pray aloud. What I've done for years was I would just have scripture printed out, just little slips of scripture in a basket, scripture that we could pray over the kids. Simply speak God's words over them, so we did not need to come up with our own words. And some years I find a lot of people want to grab that scripture, and the only prayer they pray aloud is they just pray that scripture over our group of kids. Other times I find the scripture becomes a prompt. And other times I find people don't grab the scripture because they've got things on their heart they want to articulate themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's another great place to start. So whether you're praying in a group or you're going to start by yourself, scripture is a great place to start. And I know there's all kinds of resources out there. I love Jody Burns praying the scripture over our children. She has several different ones. Watchmen on the Walls, kind of like an old one I think I got years and years ago. Simply, it has scripture and you insert your child's name right in the middle of it, and you personalize that scripture and turn it into a prayer. And, you know, there's something about God's word that when we speak it aloud, it, like, kind of has a double power. It becomes this double-edged sword. God spoke it first. We speak it again, and it becomes a stick of dynamite, you know, as we sort of speak that over our children. So you can absolutely never go wrong by simply only praying scripture. If that's all you ever prayed over your children, you would have a reserve of prayers that would last a lifetime.
I love that. And I would, you know, even take it one step further than that. So I love these suggestions for someone who's looking for that place to begin praying out loud for your children. When you have something to read, it takes the pressure off of feeling like you have to come up with words. And if you are even in the place where you can't even, you're like, I wouldn't even know where to go to find scripture, and that even feels overwhelming, then I would say this: one sentence. Like, if you could write down one sentence of what you wanted to ask God for your child this year, like, maybe, you know, whatever is that thing in your heart that, you know, it, like, it keeps coming up in your heart, and you, it's just this one, like, if you could just come up with one thing that you would say, dear God, would you please, and then fill in the blank for your child, write that down. So it's like one sentence. And if you are kind of the people that you're thinking about inviting, and you're thinking, you know, nobody's going to pray for 5 minutes, or nobody's going to want to pray out loud, well, then you could even offer that as a suggestion. Like, everybody bring one sentence of a prayer, and we're just going to pray it out loud. Or everybody bring one scripture, and we're just going to pray it out loud. And so you kind of simplify that process. But it, again, it's a place to start. It's a beginning. Yeah. And it takes the pressure off, because you know what we don't want to do is have the ice cream social, and the entire time you're eating your ice cream, you're nervous about having to pray out loud. You know,
right? But you do not want to wreck that hot fudge sundae. We do right. not want that to spoil in your stomach from anxiety. Yes, protect the ice cream.
Yes. So if you already have it written down, then that right. takes the pressure off. You know,
fantastic. Also, the power in writing that down. When you just choose one thing that you're going to commit to consistently pray over over one child for a school year, and you have that written down, you reach the end of the school year, and it's a powerful experience to be able to look back. And if you have some glimpses of how the Lord answered that prayer, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, but when we do, it becomes this powerful experience of, you know, sort of like pulling your child to your side and opening that, you know, prayer journal or that notebook or wherever you wrote that down, and saying like, look, this is the one thing mm-hmm. I talked to God about for you this year. And let's look together how he answered that. That mm-hmm. then builds not just your faith, but it becomes that process of you can give testimony that builds your child's faith. It's so powerful.
And, you know, the other thing that I have found is that when that is the case, when it is that specific, and when it isn't just this broad kind of blanket that I'm throwing over my children, but I'm asking for these specific things, I become more aware of yes. when that is answered. So when yeah. I'm not as specific, or when I'm praying a lot of things, I might actually miss or be more inclined to miss the answers as they come through the day, yeah. Because we're just moving along, right? But it's right. when I'm praying something that consistently and that specifically that then I'm like, oh my goodness, look, God answered that with this circumstance, or, you know, yeah. And so I become more aware of the answers. I'm less likely to miss God's movement when it is yeah. specific and consistent. And so it's not
exactly. Really, I feel like maybe we think, oh God, I won't get that specific. That's like putting you in a box, you know, like, but honestly, he welcomes mm-hmm. us to pray specifically and purposefully and consistently, and ask mm-hmm. and ask, you know, and I agree that makes us more aware of his answers. Mm-hmm. When my daughter, my oldest daughter headed to university, and as she was heading that way, we talked a lot about how she had was sort of leaving a very intact, deep and rich Christian community of girlfriends, you know, friendships. And they were gals that had done life together for years, and in just a very authentic way, had done Bible studies together, had prayed for each other, it had been a very beautiful community that she had found. And we talked about like, you know, as you go to university, this is what you're longing for. But, you know, where do we start with that? And had just agreed. It takes one, what we're going to ask for as you step into, mm-hmm. You know, your university life is we're first going to ask for one, you know, could Lord, would you send my daughter one friend who wants to pursue Jesus during her college years?
I love it.
And we prayed that, and we prayed that, and we asked, and honestly, we reached the end of her first year, and just really wasn't clear if that had been answered. You know, like, she'd been exposed to some people, and she certainly could list names, but I wouldn't maybe call it a friendship. And we continued to ask, you know, and it's been an amazing thing to watch as not only God answered that prayer, but he answered it in a way that we weren't even thinking when we asked. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. he answered it in a way of a young woman who was just a staple in my daughter's life, who she met on the first day, who didn't necessarily know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as they walked life together, this young woman became lit up mm-hmm. for Christ. And so even as it looked like, I don't think you got that prayer answered that first year, you know, we look back now and just marvel, like, the prayer for one friend wasn't just about one friend who came in loving Jesus, but the one friend who could come in, find Jesus, light up, and then go on mission with my daughter to spread, you know, to spread out, reach out. Who else is here that maybe hasn't met him yet? And there's plenty. There's plenty of kids who've yet to meet him and whose hearts, you know, are just postured and ready for that. So I guess if we hadn't been so specific and I'd just been like, oh, you know, please, Jesus, take care of her at college, mm-hmm. we would have missed the thrill of watching the way he orchestrated the answer to that prayer.
Yep. That is such a great example. And I hope as we've had this conversation, you have had that one thing that you can take away and you can start to do. And maybe it's not the big prayer, you know, barbecue or prayer ice cream social or prayer kickball game. Maybe it is. And, you know, maybe that's something that you start something this year and you look forward to something that takes you another step further next year. But I pray that this has encouraged you and equipped you to begin, whether you're beginning a new school year, whether it's just stepping into this next season of life. I pray that you have found some helpful encouragement and practical things that you can do so that as we move into this fall season, you can live every day as your best day ever. Alicia, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
And we will see you next time.
Bye.